You guys, welcome to Good Friday. In the church world, there's a temptation to do a couple of different things. There's a temptation on a night like tonight or even on Easter to create kind of an extravaganza. And sometimes you can do that, and there's a value to that. But sometimes it can get to be a little bit much. There's also a kind of a temptation to create an experience, and we want to do that. But that can't be our aim. And so just the way we approach this is tonight and even this weekend is to communicate a message and to allow God to create an experience for you. And it probably won't be an extravaganza. And so we want to just communicate a message tonight because what we talk about tonight actually helps Sunday make sense. Without tonight, Sunday becomes a little bit of a little empty. And so what happens tonight, as we reflect on it, as we look at what Christ did and how he relates to us, is really an important part as we prepare ourselves for Sunday, okay? And so we'll kind of walk through some things tonight. In fact, if you were with us this past week, we started kind of a mini-series here on Easter, and it's called For the Joy. The subtitle is going to be this. It's going to be Despising the Shame. Tonight's going to be a lot about shame. I know that feels kind of hard, but that's kind of what happened on this particular night that many years ago when Jesus gave himself on a cross for us. The theme of it was about shame. So we'll get there and see if it makes sense for you, and I think it will. But this passage is out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let me read it, and we'll kind of spend some time in this passage tonight. It says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, There's this incredible message here of who for the joy set before him. Let's just highlight that for a second. You think about this, that the joy that was set before him, and then we're going to get to the endured the cross part, but there was a joy set before him, and I don't know about you, but I asked the question, it seems like a rational, logical question, is to say, well, what joy was set before him? It doesn't, you know, in that particular situation, it feels like that's a bit of a stretch to think that there is a joy that is set before him. And so I think we need to wrestle with that whole idea. What was the joy that was set before Christ? And I think there's two aspects to it. The first one is this. This is the joy set before him, that it's answered in the last line here, but sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, and when he, having been crucified and resurrected, that he was going to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he was going to glorify the Father. The joy that he was experiencing was to glorify the Father. Just a few hours earlier, that particular night, in John 17, Jesus prayed this incredible prayer. And he starts it in verse 1 by saying this, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. You see, what he did that night was to glorify the Father. He did everything he did when he came was to glorify the Father. They were in step with one another, and they wanted to glorify each other. They wanted to bring glory to God. And so he was going to glorify the Father, and the Father's intention, the Father's heart for his people, he was going to glorify the Father by what he was going to do. That's where his heart was at. And it was a joy set before him to glorify the Father. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? But secondarily, I think one of the things that was going to glorify the Father was going to be the joy set before him is this, is to seek and to save those who are lost. Isn't that why Jesus came? He says, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. I didn't come to judge the world, but to save it. That's why I came. that the world without his crucifixion was going to be lost forever. We were going to be stuck in our sin. Nothing was going to cover it. Nothing was going to satisfy it. Nothing was going to pay for it. We'd be stuck in our sin and our brokenness. There'd be no hope. There'd be no answer. There'd be nothing that we could do unless he gave himself. Wow, is that amazing? Look at this in John 17, right after what we just read. It says, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to whom you have given him. That was his purpose. The joy set before him was to glorify the Father and to save that which is lost. And that he would give eternal life to all those that God had given him. That's why he came. That's what his purpose in all of this. And as a result of that, for the joy that was set before him, look at this, and I'll just highlight it. He endured the cross. That's an amazing thought, that he endured this. He did not remove himself from underneath the weight of the cross. He chose it. Sometimes we think about, well, the Romans killed him. No, they didn't. Jesus gave himself. It was his choice. He could have stepped off the cross. He could have called thousands of angels, hundreds of millions of angels. He could have said, hey, guys, I'm not interested in doing this. I'm not the Son of God. I don't want to do this. And he could have avoided all of it. But he chose. It was his choice. He gave himself. They didn't take it. He gave himself. He endured. He did not take himself out from underneath the weight of that cross. He endured it. And then let's get to what I kind of wanted to land on. This next phrase, despising the shame. It's an interesting line, isn't it? When I read that, sometimes I think about, well, what does that mean, to despise the shame? So let's just kind of circle it. Let's put it up in a box. Let's see, what does this mean? Because I think on the most part, when we think about this, we think that to despise means to hate, that he hated the shame. And you think, well, golly, that doesn't really quite fit. It doesn't make sense in all of this. But actually what it means to despise is to disregard and to see as insignificant. He disregarded the shame that he was going through. He counted it as insignificant for that which was what he was accomplishing. He decided, it doesn't matter. I'm going to look beyond it. I am going to disregard the shame I'm going through. I am going to think it insignificant compared to what I'm accomplishing here. So let's go back and kind of grab onto this idea of despising the shame. Okay, and let's isolate it, the shame. He decided that to despise it, to disregard it, to live above it and beyond it. And it's the very thing that you and I experience. If we kind of boil down life, I think there's this place in each one of us that we live with tremendous shame, embarrassment, of the things deep down inside of our heart that if they were exposed, that we'd have a hard time with it. If everyone knew and everybody saw, we'd have this really difficult time with this thing called shame. There's a lot of beautiful things about every person, right? But deep down inside, there's this broken, really messed up piece or pieces. And it's not that we aren't redeemable. We are. But there's this place called shame. Here's what I think happens here. To be shamed means this. It is the condition of being humiliated or disgraced. It's probably the thing we fear the most in life, is to be humiliated or disgraced. It's not a place where you want to show up, where that's going to happen, right? And Jesus was willing to take on this shame and disregard it for the purpose of what he was accomplishing. And you think about, okay, what did that look like in Jesus' life? Well, I think this. Just think about what happened that night. Okay, first of all, he was abandoned and betrayed by his friends and his followers. He spent 3 years doing this, training guys, spending time with them, loving them. They all said, man, we love you so much. And in these events of that day, he was abandoned and betrayed by every one of them. He ended up totally alone, rejected by every person. I don't know about you, but I've been rejected, but never by everybody. I've never really experienced the depth of that. But he did. But he lived above it for what he was accomplishing. Just think about this. He was subject to no less than six illegal trials and subsequent verdicts. He went through six trials, all of them bogus, found guilty in every one, and all of them were wrong. That had to be an incredibly painful thing, shameful. In front of everybody, he's being counted guilty. Jesus was never guilty of anything except doing what was right. But he was found guilty in these bogus trials. I mean, just think, he was beaten mercilessly like a common criminal. He was beaten within an inch of his life, literally. The scourge was probably one of the most horrific things that any culture had ever developed. The Romans put together this whip that had either bones or metal on the end of it, like sharp claws, and 39 lashes, designed to open up his entire back so you could see his inner organs. The shame of that, being treated with such disregard. But he decided to live above it. He was stripped naked and nailed to a cross in view of everybody. Now, we're grateful we don't paint pictures like that, but the reality was they just stripped him naked. They put him on a cross only a foot or two off the ground. We always depict it kind of way upside. It was probably literally only a foot or two off the ground, so you could see him eyeball to eyeball. They drove stakes through his wrists and probably drove stakes through his heels and nailed him to each side of the cross. It's probably, archaeology shows us that's probably what happened, not through the front, but through the side and both heels. He suffocated to death because he couldn't lift himself up anymore. How humiliating. And then he was openly mocked by both the Romans and the Jews. Can you imagine the shame he felt? Can you imagine what he put up with? But he did it for the purpose of what he was accomplishing. And I think what he was accomplishing was this, is that he took on himself the shame of the world. He took on himself the shame of the world, yours and mine. He took it on himself. That's what he was doing on the cross. He didn't have any of his own sins to pay for. He had just ours. And so for many of you, you've been to a Good Friday service probably dozens of times. Maybe some of you a few times. I didn't grow up going to this. I'd never been to one until I was out of college. And maybe you've been, but every year it's so good as we prepare for Sunday to remember, why did he go? Why did this happen? He resurrected because he died, and he died why? He died for you, and he died for me. He died for our shame. All those things. All that stuff. Let's go back to the passage. It says this. In the second line of this passage, it says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us. He's saying, hey, take it off, lay it over here, lay it aside, because what Christ did for us, let's lay it aside. There's these things called weights. It's really an encumbrance. The Greek word kind of defines this heavy weight that you carry because of our brokenness and our sinfulness in our lives. There is a weight to it. And when we get in touch with that, we understand why we do some other things to try to cover up that weight, deal with that weight, try to make it lighter. We self-medicate in so many different ways. And we try to take this weight and somehow get rid of it, but we can't because we carry it. And the word sin is really means that we missed the mark. We fell short of what God was like. And so tonight we remember that there are these weights and these sins in our lives, and it clings to us so closely. That word clings, what it really means is to entangle, to circle and entangle. And it seems to trip us up in all of life, these weights and these sins. So I think as we prepare for Sunday, it's really good for us to think back where we're at right now so that Sunday makes sense, and his resurrection is to think about what's going on in our lives. Not just what was going on years ago, but what's going on right now. I don't know about you, but I kept hoping I would arrive at some level of perfection It hasn't happened yet. And so I still wrestle with these weights and these sins in my life. And he says, I want you to lay them aside. But lay them aside isn't just to somehow act like they don't exist. Here's the deal. He says, I'd like to take those on myself. I'd like to adopt those. I would like to put them on me. And I'm going to take that and make it what I carry. And I'm going to take my righteousness and give it to you and let you carry that. I'd like to exchange your brokenness for my wholeness. Wow. And so what we'd like to do tonight to have you help you prepare for Sunday is we're going to give you an opportunity to come up in what we've created here is what I'm calling the wall of shame or the wall of pain, the wall of brokenness, the wall that really is that barrier that's between us and God. Now, he's paid for that. But the reality is we have to repeatedly keep coming back to the Lord and saying, you know what, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't done it all right. I've messed up. I fall short. I have weights in my life. I have sin in my life. And in order to really enjoy Sunday, maybe tonight we need to say, I need to think through what are the weights and what are the sins in my life that I need to bring to him. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to think that through. What are those things? What's going on inside of you? Maybe it's a bitterness or an anger towards people or someone. Or maybe it's some sort of private sin that you really don't want anybody to know about, that you're struggling with. It might be, I don't know what it is. But I know this, that the Lord can show us individually what it is. I know he can do that. He does that because he loves us. He disciplines us not to punish us, but to guide us. Like a loving father who disciplines his children. That doesn't mean to punish them all the time. It means to guide them, help them walk on the right road. That's why he disciplines. And there might be something in your life you think, you know, I'm really at odds with you, God. I'm far from you on this. I'm struggling with this. I've blown it. I don't know what it is in your life. So let me just ask two questions. One is this. As to weights, what are you carrying that you shouldn't be carrying? What are you carrying around with you that's too heavy, it's too much? You shouldn't be carrying it, but you are. What are the weights that you're carrying that you need to give to him? What are you taking around with you that you should give it up? Secondly, the sins. What are you doing that you shouldn't be doing? What are you messing with that you shouldn't be messing with? What are you involved in that you shouldn't be involved in? What do you need to confess to him? What's going on in your life? And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Tonight, the band's going to come up here. Why don't you guys go ahead and come up, and they'll just kind of give us some background to really kind of help us. But what I'm going to ask you to do is to think through what's going on. What are the weights and what are the sins in your life? In order to prepare for Sunday, you need to put this on the table with the Lord so that his resurrection, which defeats death, makes sense. Because these things are killing you. These weights and these sins are killing you spiritually. They might be killing you more than that. Deep down inside of who you are, they're killing you. So I'm going to ask you to think it through, and then I'm going to ask you over a period of time, we'll give you all the time you need, is to go over to these two tables over here where the red candles are, and there are little sheets of paper. And I want you to go over there, and I want you to write it down. I want you to write it down. There's some Sharpies over there, and I want you to write it down. And don't watch each other write, okay? This is private. Don't be checking out anybody else's sheet of paper. And then when you're done with whatever those weights and those sins are, then I want you to roll it up, and I want you to come over, and I just want you to stick it in this wall. There's little spots you can slide it in, let it stay. And then after that, what I'd like to invite you to do is to go over here, and you can self-serve communion. Because over here is what Jesus did on the night before he was killed. He introduced this whole thing to his disciples, where he took the bread, and he passed it, and he said, this is my body broken for you. It was torn apart for us. Just like the scourge, it tore him to shreds. He gave his body, his brokenness for our wholeness, right? And he also took his blood, and he says he took the cup and he passed it. This, he said, this is my blood. It's a new covenant. This blood covers your sin. And so what I would like you to do is invite you to personally, or if you want to go as a family or as a couple or whatever, individually, you can go over and take communion and recognize what he did for you. And we're going to do it kind of quietly. We're just going to let you kind of spend some time with the Lord. So we're going to take several minutes here. So you're going to have to go quickly. You can spend some time just preparing. But I want you to really be honest. And if there's nothing that comes to your mind tonight that's really a problem between you and God, then don't beat yourself up. You know, you don't have to do introspection like you just destroy yourself. But if something comes to mind that's really between you and the Lord, it's a problem. It's an issue. It's a weight that you're carrying that you shouldn't be carrying. It's a sin, it's something you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. And you want to really put it out there in front of the Lord. And you don't have to get better. He didn't come here to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And then you would take this whatever this problem is and put it on this wall. Give it to him at the foot of the cross. Because what he did there was for you. He did this so we could lay aside these sins and these weights. And lay them aside means give it to him. Give it to him. Okay? So why don't we just spend... You can, as long as you want. I'll have a band will be playing, and you can just kind of process. And when you're ready, start over there, put it on the wall, take communion, come back, okay? All right, let me pray for us, though. Father, we really look forward to Sunday, celebrating the resurrection, the beauty of Jesus rising from the dead. And the fact that there are changed lives as a result. But Father, the resurrection doesn't mean anything unless we recognize the sacrifice Christ made for us. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him of glorifying you and saving us. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He lived above it and around it and beyond it. And the shame was my sin on his back. It was my sin. It was our sin. It was our brokenness, our rebellion, our denial of him. We mock him. Father, speak to each one of us as a loving father would to his children. Speak to us. Thank you that you say, I love you. And I want you to bring your truth before me so we can have fellowship. And all that brokenness in us, he sent his son to the cross. He sent his son to pay for it. It seems so wild, doesn't it? Kind of weird. But it's so logical. It's the most rational thing ever that he would become, take the form of man, and give himself the ultimate sacrifice for us. Father, we thank you that your son sits at your right hand today, waiting to come back again, still in human form, a glorified body, but still ready to come. But we remember what he did for us. So you guys, what are those weights and those sins that you need to bring before him? Pursue him. Listen to him. And then if you would, bring it to the foot of the cross.